Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Carrie Goldberg, in for Meghna Chakrabarty. Who owns the fundamental building blocks of life? In a victory for doctors and patients, the Supreme Court says not corporations. The High Court ruled unanimously today that isolated segments of human genes cannot be patented.
The decision involved the Utah-based company Myriad Genetics, which held patents on two genes that can indicate a woman's risk of developing breast or ovarian cancer. The court said that a naturally occurring DNA segment is a product of nature and cannot legally be subjected to a patent. The ruling is a victory for scientists and doctors who argue that patents interfere with research and medical care.
And the ruling's impact on the biotechnology industry could be profound. Earlier today, we spoke with Eric Lander, president and founding director of the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, a genomic research center. He's thrilled about the Supreme Court's decision, and I started by asking him what the ruling means for patients.
What it really says is that everyone is entitled to get whatever genetic information they want out of their own DNA, and that no one can have a patent monopoly over that information that would prevent a patient from learning about his or her own DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's common sense that you can't award patents for something that nature invented, but a lower court, in fact an appeals court, had somehow ruled that things like a human gene, a breast cancer gene, was something that a company could get a patent on if it discovered the gene. Even though, you know, it's pretty obvious that that thing existed in nature before anybody started looking for it.
Mm-hmm. And you are one of the most prominent genomic researchers in the country, actually. So you could never understand how the court had ruled that?
Well, it was a little baffling to me. Look, I was involved with the Human Genome Project together with many other scientists. And one of the things we all believed in was that this information was the common heritage of all of mankind. And we were working together to make it available to everyone. So it was upsetting and baffling to us that courts might award monopolies on particular pieces of the human genome. Mm-hmm. The legal fiction that justified this was the idea that even though all that DNA was there, present in nature, and pre-existed even before anybody discovered it, somehow clipping out a particular region and declaring that this is the breast cancer gene was an invention of a new molecule.
Mm-hmm.
What the court said was, no, it's a discovery. It could be a really brilliant discovery, an important discovery, one deserving of a great scientific paper and winning awards, but it's not an invention of a new molecule that didn't exist before. And that's such an important difference because it means that nobody can own it. Patients can find out whatever they want to about their own DNA, and we're going to now see, I think, competition amongst companies that will drive down the costs of discovering, for example, whether a woman is at risk for breast cancer. Right now, you might pay $3,000 or $4,000 for that information because it's a monopoly. And I think we'll see those prices fall, and that's very much to the benefit of all patients.
Right. Great news for patients. Now, what about for researchers? What does this mean for you, for them?
Well, for researchers, it's a great thing, too, because researchers really have to have access to all the human DNA. We really didn't want the confusion of patents that might exist when researchers might be worried about whether one company might be owning one piece of DNA or another company owning another piece of DNA. A thicket of patents is confusing to researchers. What this says very clearly is people are free to work on studying naturally occurring human DNA in any way they want to.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of research can go forward, for example, that might have been hampered if the decision had gone the other way?
Oh, look, there are patent claims that had been made against, I'm told, something like a third of all the human genes,
mm-hmm,
affecting inherited diseases, affecting cancer. All of these patent claims created great confusion. People didn't get into the genetic testing business, or people might not really pursue particular lines of study because they were worried about what the patent claims might be. And I think this in one stroke sweeps away those concerns. Hmm. It's a great thing.
That was Eric Lander, president and founding director of the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard, a genomic research center. Joining us in the studio now to continue this discussion is George Annis, chair of the Department of Health Law, Bioethics, and Human Rights at Boston University's School of Public Health. George Annis, thanks so much for being with us.
Happy to be here.
So we just heard Eric Lander talk about how great this ruling is for patients and researchers, but let's back up a little. You were at the oral arguments for this case. How would you sum up the two sides?
Well, I think the two sides. One, what Myriad's side was that they found something that no one else had found, and they did something to it. They isolated it, and therefore they should have a right to patent it. The other side, the ACLU side, and the other people with the American Civil Liberties Union argued that just finding something in nature that exists in nature is not an invention. You didn't make anything. You found something, and you found something that already existed. And just because you cut it out of a bigger piece doesn't mean that you invented it, so you shouldn't be able to patent it.
Mm-hmm. And from a medical ethics perspective, how do you assess this case? Is the court right?
Oh, I think the court is absolutely right, and I think Eric Lander expressed it extremely well, that doctors, scientists, patients all see this as a victory, and that it really didn't make any intuitive sense. Whether it made legal sense was for the court to say that someone could patent your genes.
Right. They're mine. Yes.
Exactly. No, yeah. Exactly right. And uh-huh. As far as Myriad is concerned, all your genes are yours, but not the two breast cancer genes. Those are theirs.
Yeah, they cut those out of me.
Exactly.
Yes. Now, in terms of the biotech industry, what do you think the effect will be on them? Because this was not it was partly in favor of Myriad, but mostly not.
Well, that's right. Myriad's press release says they won, of course.
Yeah.
And not surprising. Everybody claims victory in this case. What the impact on the biotech companies is, I think, has not been well thought out. I don't think anybody knows that, although I take Dr. Lander's point very seriously that this could actually encourage many more companies to look for genetic solutions to problems, to do much more research with the gene, especially in the area. I mean, one of the areas that is growing very rapidly but could have been derailed is whole genome sequencing, companies that want to do your entire genome. And assuming other people had patented parts of that genome, they might have theoretically at least had to get a license for each gene that had a patent before they could sequence your gene. That made no sense. That made no sense at all. It would be impossible to even do. And the whole area of personalized medicine, whether you believe in it or not, is founded on the notion that everyone should be able to get their whole genome sequenced. And so that's a big deal. I think that my own view is that's probably the biggest deal. In this case.
That whole genome processing
can go
forward.
Yeah, the whole genome sequencing that can go forward. Uh-huh. And yes, and without any worry that anybody's going to yell patent infringement,
which
even if it's wrong, costs a lot of money to defend.
To fight, yes. One final question. So does this case suggest that also there needs to be exceptions to patent law for the sake of health? Some of the arguments were that health, it's different when human health is concerned.
Yeah, well, the court didn't say anything like that. They did. The argument was made, but that was not part of this case. This case was really based solely on the question whether Myriad created something or found something that actually pre-existed in nature, and that's as far as they went.
And
I'd like to see a public policy issue for that. The Europeans have that. We really don't.
Got it. Well, George Annis, thank you for speaking with us. George Annis is chair of the Department of Health Law, Bioethics, and Human Rights at Boston University's School of Public Health.
And stay with us still to come, seeking a deeper connection between father and son through golf, the story of a father's journey to become his son's caddy. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Carrie Goldberg. Stay with us.